Last Sunday, we reflected upon a special year of consecrated life that began last Sunday on the first Sunday of Advent 2014 and will conclude on World Day for Consecrated Life on the 2nd of February 2016. Pope Francis, in proclaiming this special year, told us the year of consecrated life concerns not only consecrated persons, but the entire church. This year is about all of us. This year is not just about honoring religious and thanking religious and being more aware of consecrated religious, even though we will do all these things this year. It is not even about praying that more young people will say yes when they are called by God to consecrate their lives to Him as religious men and women, even though praying for a more generous response from our young people is very important. This year involves all of us personally in our own consecration to God, depending, of course, on our own particular vocation. Now, even though this year involves all of us personally, Pope Francis had a special challenge to consecrated men and women religious. "I'm counting on you," he says, "to wake up the world." Consecrated religious men and women, priests, monks and brothers, nuns and sisters, show us how to watch for the coming of Christ. Because we don't know when our Lord will come to us in the evening, at midnight, at daybreak, or in the morning, consecrated virgins are praying at all hours of the day and night, watching and keeping vigil, with their lamps of faith burning brightly, ready to wake up the world with their cry, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Let us go out to meet Christ the Lord." We said last week that men and women consecrate themselves to God through three vows: poverty, chastity, and obedience. These three vows, poverty, chastity, and obedience, are known as the three evangelical councils. That's a big fancy way of saying evangelical means gospel, and counsel is divine counsel or divine advice, right? So the three evangelical councils are poverty, chastity, and obedience, three gospel-based behaviors of how God asks us to live. Now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church says something very interesting in paragraph 915. It says, Christ proposes the evangelical counsels to every disciple. Wow. It's kind of shocking, isn't it? Christ proposes the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience to every follower of Him. And so the Pope was right. Pope Francis knew that this year of consecrated religious life involves each one of us personally. On this second Sunday of Advent, I would like to take a moment to examine the evangelical counsel of poverty. St. John the Baptist comes to us in poverty this week. He's wearing very simple clothing made out of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. St. John the Baptist comes to us this week eating a poor man's diet, the fat-free, gluten-free, cholesterol-free locust, and for dessert, just a couple drops of honey. St. John the Baptist lives in the desert, the home for the poor. He's not living in the desert in a plush mobile home with easy hookup for his electric and sewer. He's not living in a beautiful houseboat on the Jordan River. St. John the Baptist comes to us on the second Sunday of Advent, as our Blessed Mother will tomorrow, and as our Lord will on Christmas night, in absolute poverty. I personally think that poverty is a very difficult Advent virtue in our consumeristic and materialistic world. In the secular world, Advent is the absolute opposite of poverty. In the secular world, Advent is about riches and wealth and possessions. There's Gray Thursday and Black Friday and Small Business Saturday and Cyber Monday. All of these things in order for companies and department stores to get out of the red financially. And in order for them to make more money, we have to buy more products. Every advertisement hypnotizes us. Buy more things. Buy more things. Buy more things. And unfortunately, our young people sometimes think that Christmas is about receiving things rather than about receiving a person who is Jesus. Sadly, sometimes Advent is about making a list of gifts you would like to receive and then checking it twice and three times and four times. Last week, the kids at St. Felix School were challenged by the 5210 plan to give up all screen time at home for one day. In other words, to give up anything involving a screen for one day. TV, computer, iPad, iPhone, Kindle, Game Boys, anything with a screen. And some students just couldn't do it. Not even for one day. In the midst of our secular, materialistic screen world that says rich is a virtue and poverty is a vice, we have the powerful witness of consecrated religious men and women who take the vow of poverty. Jesus says, if you wish to be perfect, Jesus says, if you wish to be perfect, go, sell all you have, and give to the poor, and then come and follow me. I know the story of the bionic woman who got the part of the bionic woman in Hollywood and said, no, thank you. Let Lindsay Wagner have the part of the bionic woman. She went and she sold all of her possessions, she sold her house and all of her inheritance, and she became a Carmelite nun. Sister Paul Mary was with us a month ago with our young people on Wednesday nights, and they asked her if she watched television, and she said no. And they couldn't believe it, that she never watched television. She never has any screen time, ever. She had no money in her pockets. They couldn't believe that. No money, no credit cards. She just lives in just a one-room cell. Everything that she has belongs to the community. It says in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 32, the early Christians living in community held everything in common. No one claimed anything as his own. These sisters and brothers and monks and nuns, everything belongs to the community. When they go to the next place, they pack everything that they own in one suitcase. They shame me. It's going to take a huge 18-wheeler to move all of my books and vestments and possessions. And yet I'm inspired of how they live the vow of poverty. I know one priest friend always, by December 31st, brings his checkbook down to a zero balance. How can he do that? With absolute trust that God will provide in his providence. Father Al Lauer, founder of Presentation Ministries in Ohio, never went shopping for clothing. He just relied on things that people gave him. If people didn't give him anything, he didn't have anything. He relied on a friend of his who was a shoe store owner to send him a pair of shoes every now and then. Any stipends he received went back into Presentation Ministries. In the last part of his life, he didn't accept a car or an income. I'm doing a terrible job at this Evangelical Council of Poverty. All I do is give 10% of my income to the church. That's terrible. You're giving much more. You're giving 15, 20%. of your income to the church and other charities. The Evangelical Council of Poverty is not just for consecrated religious men and women. It's for everybody. I'm inspired by you and your giving, and especially bequests and wills to the parish. A beloved parish member will die and leave a large amount of money for capital improvement projects at our parish or for scholarships for the school. The generosity is incredible. I am always inspired by one family I knew many years ago who said they wanted to give money to charity every Christmas rather than spending money on buying presents for themselves or drawing names for themselves to see what someone would give them. So instead of putting their names into a hat, they put in names of charities into a hat. They would draw one out, and they make a substantial financial contribution at Christmas time. In today's gospel, the whole Judean countryside and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, in other words, a whole lot of people, had to leave something behind and to go out and see St. John the Baptist. What am I going to leave behind in order to make room in my life for Jesus? In the first verse of that popular Christmas song, Joy to the World, we sing, "Let every heart prepare him room." When Jesus comes, is there going to be any room in the inn of my heart? The Evangelical Council of Poverty allows us to get rid of our attachments to material things so that our lives have room for Jesus. When the Lord comes, he'll be looking for an empty inn where there is room to pitch his tent. When the Lord comes, he'll be looking for those who are poor and have nothing so he can fill them up with the one thing necessary: himself. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs.